a special edition of Calling It. We're talking to Andy Collier, previewing tonight's NCAA championship game. I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening as you get ready to see who will be this year's champion of college basketball. Gonzaga and UNC going at it. They both had to sweat it out to get there a little bit. Andy, first off, welcome to the program.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me again.
So two games that came down to the final seconds, unorthodox endings for sure. Let's start with Gonzaga, South Carolina, because that was the earlier game. What'd you make of South Carolina's coaching decision? Everybody kind of said the coaching staff just sort of quit. Gonzaga was able to pull away late. What'd you make of the way the Gamecocks handled Gonzaga?
You know, it was I felt that they were a little overmatched physically anyways. So it, you know, it was kind of one of those odd games that, you know, they play really physical brand of offense. They did a great job of making it, you know, bringing it back tight, because it looked like for a while there that Gonzaga was going to stretch on them. You know, they had it up up to 13 at one point late in the second half, and you know, but you gotta give a lot of credit to them to make it all the way back. It's just you know, some teams know how to win in those situations, and some teams just haven't learned it quite yet. And I think that it gives a lot of testament to how strong Gonzaga really is down the stretch. They, you know, people say they weren't really challenged that much during the year, but I'll tell you what, they've had 36 wins now this year. So they've done pretty. They know how to finish games off, and I think that they actually kind of welcome that physicality a little bit, and I think that's going to help them tonight's game too.
On the other side, you had the UNC Oregon game, and that was, well, that was a mess at the end, with UNC missing four free throws, Oregon failing to get a rebound twice. We ran a poll on Twitter after that game. It was about 70-30. Most of you saying the failure to rebound was more embarrassing. Maybe that's just because of the ultimate outcome. But really, what was the weaker showing there? Was it an inability to hit four free throws or the inability to get the rebound?
Oh, man, it was so gut-wrenching for if you were an Oregon fan. You know, you did exactly what you needed to do. You try and extend the game out the best you can. You know, Kennedy Meeks has been really steady. You had a monster game on the boards. I think he actually had a career game altogether with points and rebounds. So that was a big part of it. It's hard to know, because obviously if you're in that situation, North Carolina's got to take care of the game. They got to finish it off at the line. However, they didn't. On the other side of that, Oregon then gets the opportunity, the golden opportunity to get possession of the ball, come on down, make the game win and play. With, you know, with playmakers that they had. Dorsey was still there. Brooks was fouled out. Bell was still a part of that as well. It's just, you know, it's just the weird stuff that, you know, they played so well. Oregon played so well to get to that point. It's just really a shame that it came down to that. You know, and you think about how much fundamentals comes into play. Whenever it's crunch time, fundamentals is always paramount. And whoever executes those fundamentals comes away with it. And, you know, just flat out, Oregon did not box out, and the best rebounding team in the nation ends up taking charge and, you know, ends up icing the game for them, regardless if they made those foul shots or not.
Now, before we get into tonight's game, you mentioned the fundamentals, and the conversation I was having while I was watching that game with people really was the incredible lack of fundamentals that was shown there. And it seems to be a systemic problem in basketball. Nobody cares about the fundamentals anymore. Nobody cares about rebounding. Nobody cares about being able to hit a layup. Everybody wants to either shoot the three or throw down the windmill slam. And it's ruining the game to an extent, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of people who, you know, grew up watching it traditionally, and I'm a little bit younger, so I didn't truly see, you know, the 86 Celtics. I never saw Jordan. But the mid-range jump shot's a lost form. The layup's more or less a lost form. Defense is completely lost. Andy, is basketball, do they have a problem on their hands? Is this something that could ultimately end up being an issue for the game? The lack, and is it just me, or is there a lack of fundamentals in basketball?
Well, you know, as a purist myself, I you see it, and there's no question the athleticism is there for all these guys. I mean, every one of them, they're just such tremendous athletes. But I feel like there's, you know, and perhaps it's a little bit of the AAU stuff creeping in a little bit, perhaps, that, you know, they're just saying let them go out and run out and do these things. So there's not necessarily organized offenses and things like that, or these kids just, they don't grasp the concepts very well. Perhaps they're not strong mentally to be able to handle game tense situations like that. So, you know, it's kind of like a combination of a lot of different things. I don't think it's necessarily ruining the game. It certainly adds a lot of intrigue to, you know, to what can happen. I think that actually it throws away a little bit more of a loop to what could potentially happen, because, you know, you could be seeing a team that's got a, you know, that's been doing so well for so long, they've been sticking to their game plan, and all of a sudden they get out of it, and then you wonder what the heck was going on. That's kind of what happened to Oregon in many ways. They you know, you saw Dylan Brooks settling for a lot of shots instead of taking it to the rack like he's so good at, you know, that sort of stuff. Tyler Dorsey wasn't really getting a clean look, so he's forcing it a little bit instead of running an offense. And I think that actually ended up being their death knell, you know, why they ended up not doing very well. But, you know, I don't think it's a detriment to the game, but I also do think that they need to get back to those fundamentals to, you know, take care of the basketball and, you know, do set plays. And that's actually where I think Gonzaga is a little bit more set up than North Carolina. North Carolina gets away with being bigger, more physical, better athletes, you know, than the next guy. Whereas I think Mark Few's got those boys kind of programmed to what he wants to do in his system offense.
So tonight's game, let's get to what everybody wants to talk about. North Carolina, Gonzaga. You had Gonzaga get in a little more comfortably over a lesser opponent. North Carolina has to sweat it out, but it's what some may call a quality win. Who's coming into this game with more momentum?
Actually, I think that Gonzaga's coming in with more momentum. I think that North Carolina has to feel that they got a little lucky getting to this point, just for the fact that, you know, for one, they did play some tougher competition, you're right. However, Gonzaga has handled business in the last couple of weeks too. They've looked like they were the team that's really taken it to their opponents. You know, they really handled teams that looked like they might have been giving them a hard time. Think back to West Virginia, you know, back to the Northwestern game, they kind of struggled with them, you know, that questionable goaltending call that never turned to be. After that, they kind of controlled everything. West Virginia is a very tough team to play, and they handled them, you know, and they get to a different set, you know, where South Carolina is a really physical team, very similar to a West Virginia, I guess, and they handled that pretty well. You know, it made things a little bit more exciting towards the end, but, you know, they really, I don't think that they truly felt like that game was out of hand. So I think momentum-wise, I would be leaning towards Gonzaga, feeling like this could be their year of destiny. This is, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is the best team that Few has had over those many years, the 20 years that Gonzaga's been ready to do stuff. This could be very well be the year. I mean, they're top five in offensive efficiency. They're top five in the nation in defensive efficiency. That sort of stuff goes a long way when you talk about championships. They always say, you know, defense wins championships, but you got to score points. I think that they're efficient enough to do both.
Again, we're talking with Andy Collier of Snap Call Sports. You can play along with the national championship tonight. Download the Snap Call app for Android or iPhone. With the win tonight, UNC would move into third place all time with 6 national titles. They're right now tied in a pack with a couple of teams with 5 titles. Or for Gonzaga, it would be the first national championship win for what is considered one of the premier mid-major powerhouses. Which win, Andy, or which team would a win mean more for the program? Obviously, it's a national championship. It's a big deal for both. But Gonzaga's first or UNC moving into third most all time?
This has to be a bigger win. It would have to be a bigger win for Gonzaga, just for the sake that it would be a big win for those mid-majors, so to speak. I don't think that they're necessarily a mid-major team anymore. I mean, considering the conference they're in, however, they've been here. I mean, this is after 2 decades of it. It's not like we're, you know, we kind of know what to expect from these guys. But I think. Actually scratching it and saying that they are now a national championship, that gives a lot of credibility to, you know, conferences like the West Coast Conference or You know, any of those other guys that you think that might not be a Power 5 conference. However, on the other side of that, this would be a really big one for North Carolina because they were here last year. They lost at the buzzer beater. I mean, Chris Jenkins hits that miraculous shot, so to speak, and Villanova gets their championship. That's awesome. So it's kind of showing that there's, you know, potential for a little bit of a dynasty here in many ways, because if that shot doesn't go for Villanova, we could be talking about two, you know, defending champs here going for their second straight championship. So, you know, it's kind of a way for them to almost get revenge for not winning last year. So I think there's definitely a lot of really cool storylines that are involved with both sides winning it.
Andy Collier, Snap Call Sports, real quick, because we want to actually get this up before the game starts, but give us a winner, a score, and an MVP.
Oh, boy. My head and my heart said two different things. My head says it's going to be UNC. My heart says Gonzaga. I would love to see the Zags finally kind of break the curse, so to speak, and do it for the little guys. But I feel like it's going to be a free throw shooting matchup down the road, down the stretch, and I see UNC squeaking away with an 83-77 final, and it'll probably be Justin Jackson as the MVP.
All right, you heard it here first. Andy Collier of Snap Call Sports. Download the Snap Call app, available for Android or iPhone. Play along tonight during the national championship game with GameCaster Mike Zago. Andy, thank you so much for coming on, and hey, those predictions come right, we'll make sure we post them back out so everybody can see what the future teller you are.
Well, hey, thanks. In many ways, I hope I'm wrong because I want Zags to do their thing. But hey, if that means North Carolina is it, and I'm a soothsayer, then maybe I should rethink my career prospects.
Maybe. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Alex. Take care, man.
You've been listening to Calling It with Alex Barth. This episode has been brought to you by Snap Call Sports. Snap Call, the game within the game. Available for iPhone or Android.